This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 160.
You didn't even ask me first. I'm so proud of you.
I didn't have to. Of what did you watch this week?
So it's even numbers.
My name is Mike.
What? So it's even numbers, 160. Like it wasn't some weird 153 or something.
Yeah.
You were like, I am confident it is 160.
Yeah, I wasn't confused.
Just for that, I'm going to label this one as 161.
You probably
and then the link will say 159 because, you know, still hasn't been fixed.
Yeah. It's true. We should put up like a 5-minute episode that's just like, just trying to get our numbers in line.
Yeah. This is not a real episode.
We're just trying to get our numbers in line.
That's right.
Because
we're fixing the system. We're pulling up the duct tape, essentially.
Because they be off.
Yep.
All right.
So
I watched some stuff.
Yeah. It's Wednesday, May 8th. But you'll be listening to this on Sunday, May something.
11?
No.
12. 12.
Sure.
I know it's the 12th. It's Mother's Day, Sunday the 12th, because my daughter's birthday is on Monday, the 13th.
Okay.
So I know. That's why I know.
Roger that. By the time you're listening to this, I think it's safe to say that Avengers Endgame will now be the highest grossing movie of all time.
I wouldn't be so that. Yeah. I mean, I think
earlier this week, it was at 2 billion, which put it in second place only behind Avatar. Avatar, it took 47 days to reach 2 billion. And Avengers Endgame did it in, I think, 10.
Holy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Avatar is finally going down. Avengers will become the biggest movie of all time. Doesn't matter because they're both owned by Disney right now. So.
Well, but still. I saw that the new Avatar flicks got pushed back again.
Did you see the way that Disney's doing this?
Yeah.
They announced 3 new Star Wars movies and 4 Avatar sequels, and they're going to hopscotch them in December every year. So, yeah. Like, 2021 will get a Star Wars. And then
that's 22.
22 will get a Star Wars. 21 is an Avatar.
Probably.
23 is an Avatar. 24 is a Star Wars. 25 is an Avatar. 26 is a Star Wars. Knock it off. December. Like, nobody goes to the movies in December. Well, they can, I guess, but that's not the first thing that I think of in December. I think of fighting crowds and shopping for shit that people don't care about.
Yeah, also, they have not announced what they are, but they've given release dates for 2 Marvel movies next year, May 1st and November or something.
Yeah. What's up with that? We've gotten used to having 3 Marvel movies a year.
I'm trying to think. Are we getting 3 a year? Or are we like
the past couple of years? We've gotten 3.
What do we get? We got Avengers last year.
Mm-hmm. Black Panther.
Yeah, we got Black Panther, then Avengers, and then Spider-Man.
No, yeah. Was it?
No.
Jesus Christ! You're gonna make me dig this out.
I am.
We'll keep talking.
Oh.
You're the one that's making me look this up.
Stuff and things. Are we spoiling Avengers?
Well, the Russo brothers officially lifted the ban on spoilers for this past Monday. They said after this past Monday, all spoilers were fair game. So
I went and watched it again. I went and saw it again today.
Spoilers.
I took my kids.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't seen it yet. There were still some people in the theater that hadn't seen it. We did not get the fight at the beginning of the movie like last time. Luckily, yeah. But when Kat picked up Thor's hammer.
Mew-mew?
Yeah, no one cheered like at the opening night.
Oh, that's too bad.
But there were some people crying over Tony Stark.
I can imagine.
I tell you what. They were crying. I think this time around, I did notice a few things I hadn't noticed the first time.
Okay.
One of the things that I picked up the most, or seemed more obvious to me now, is that Bucky knew Cap wasn't coming back.
Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Year before that, it was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor, Ragnarok.
Okay. Before that?
It was Doctor Strange, Captain America, Civil War, and whatever came before that one. I'm just looking at the Phase 3 movies, so okay. I'd have to go back to Phase 2.
Anyhow, so it seems very obvious that Bucky knew that Cap wasn't coming back when he was taking the Infinity Stones.
That was it.
Flipping back in place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed very obvious.
Yeah. Still bullshit. I still call bullshit.
That's fine. You can. I'm just saying it was very obvious that Bucky knew.
Right. Like, he knew, oh, he ain't coming back. And the Russos, by the way, speaking of Endgame, they've gone on a tear this week. They've been doing interviews and stuff. And they did a, like, an evening with Kevin Smith kind of thing where they answered people's questions, except for, you know, they didn't just answer one question and talk for 3 fucking hours about themselves.
Oh, okay.
But they were asked a lot of things. One of the speculations was that when – oh, I'm going to butcher her name, but Okoye from Wakanda.
Yeah.
In the beginning when she's talking to the 5 years later when she's talking to Black Widow there, and she says that there was an earthquake
yeah.
in the Atlantic Ocean. People are like, is this Atlantis? Is Namor finally coming up?
Oh.
And the Russos were like, maybe.
Oh, that's kind of cool, right?
Shrug the shoulders.
Yeah.
They talked about, apparently, Katherine Langford. I don't know who that is, but apparently she's the main girl in 13 Reasons Why.
Yes, I did read that, yeah. Yeah,
she was supposed to have the role of grown-up Tony Stark's daughter in his own version of the Soul Stone's, you know, waiting area, yeah. I guess, purgatory, like what Thanos got. They had a bunch of different stuff that they talked about. People asked different questions. They said that Cap has always been worthy and able to wield Mjolnir, and a few other things that they answered. I can't remember what it was. But.
No, I saw something at the movie today, but I was letting you finish, and I just confirmed it. I hadn't a chance to look it up yet.
Okay. What did you see?
Did you have any other things the Russos relayed?
Not that I can remember.
Okay.
There was a bunch of it. I might remember other stuff later on. But.
Remember how I said, remember like there was the kid at the funeral no one knew? I said there was that old guy kind of standing off to the side and you're like, oh. Like,
yeah.
And then later on we were talking and I said that, you know who one character we never saw in the movie because we brought up a couple? I said, Ross.
Mm.
That was him.
Really?
When I was watching it today, I made a point to look and it was William Hurt.
Huh.
As Thaddeus Ross. He's just standing off to the side. And then I just looked it up here and
Thunderball.
It does confirm that he's there. So he was at the funeral. Which
interesting.
Which makes sense.
Yep.
If he was one of the ones that puffed away,
mm-hmm.
or even if he wasn't, he now knows what they did.
Right.
So he might feel differently about them.
Right.
So
yeah. That and that kind of keeps things open for him to potentially be back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a bigger role,
right.
Which everyone kind of wants to see the Red Hulk.
They
kind of really want to see.
I'd like to see a Hulk movie now with Banner as he is,
mm-hmm.
Once he gets healed up and everything, and then Red Hulk would be like the perfect villain.
So, I mean, as long as we're talking about like things that we would like to see, should we just skip ahead a little bit and go right to that Far From Home trailer?
Yeah, I think we should.
Because, I mean, it kind of dovetails in nicely here.
It actually does. And the first Far From Home, the first Spider-Man trailer I thought was decent.
Yeah, yeah. It set things up and it gave us all stuff to look at. Oh, that's Mysterio. And oh,
yeah.
What's that? Is that Hydro Man? Is that, what's it going to be? This one just pulled out all the stuff.
It changed everything.
Yeah, I literally just spelled it all out.
And also, you have Holland like, hey, there's spoilers. You may want to watch Endgame first.
Yeah.
And
which is weird because Tom Holland traditionally can't keep his mouth shut and spoils everything.
And then the trailer starts. And it's like, I'm so sad since Tony died.
Yeah.
Basically.
I see him everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Now, see, it's weird because they're propping Iron Man up as being like, the Superman of Marvel or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he never was in the comics, but he definitely is in this universe.
Yeah. And you got to figure in this universe, that was the first movie.
Yeah.
That's what started it all. Robert Downey Jr. has been a consistently powerful force in all of them.
Yeah.
that he's been in.
Yeah.
And then they kind of sent him out on a really heroic note.
You think?
Yeah. Ridiculously heroic.
Real quick, I got to go back to Endgame. We were watching it in the theater, and I did not openly sob like the guy a couple people down from Rude last time. But when, all is lost, whatever, and Tony looks up at Strange, and Strange puts up the one finger.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I only saw one where we win. I'm going back this Friday to watch it again, and I got to look, because apparently when they're doing the big scene, you know, on your left and all the portals are opening, apparently Howard the Duck is in there holding a very powerful gun, jumps out of one of those.
Really?
Yep. Yep. Apparently Petrie saw it. I didn't see it. And now people are talking about it online.
So. Kind of wish I would have known. I would have looked today. You have to tell me.
Yeah. I got to look for him because, you know, it's Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
And he's a loser character, but...
I'll had one cameo in the movies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, the more I looked at it today, like, all these people that had cameos, and then I'm like, oh, with technology today, did they really get Michelle Pfeiffer to stand there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, Michael Douglas was one thing, because he was actually in the movie earlier.
And talking. And,
yeah, as a younger version, but it was still his voice. And then Robert Redford was in. I mean, they really went out all the stops to get the people in this flick.
Like, The Russos set a rule that nobody was allowed to film anything on set.
Yeah.
So, of course, all the stars started posting stuff, and they're like, I wasn't supposed to post anything, so here's what I took.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't allowed to film anything, here's what I took. And, you know, it was a good laugh. But I did see one collaborative photo that they did, and it was with a green screen background, and they had to pan way out because it showed all the people who had cameos or starred in it. So I believe that's that they probably got them back in.
That's huge. Yeah. I think I saw that picture, but I didn't go into fine detail on it.
Yeah, I didn't play the, you know, where's Waldo kind of thing.
Exactly. But I did see, like, Chris Evans, like, now that we can release these, now that the ban's been lifted.
Exactly.
And they're showing, like, set videos they took or whatever. And I think Chris Evans did one where he just showed the chairs.
Yes.
And that was really cool because it's like, oh, my God, like all the people that are there. It's like, big day on set today or whatever. But...
I'm amazed that they kept some of those cameos under wraps.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we didn't know that Rene Russo was going to be back in there.
Or Robert Redford or everybody from everyone that was from the...
The elevator scene.
Yes, the elevator scene.
Frank Grillo. Like, I mean, I think Crossbones was gone and there he is.
I like that they got... I know it's not... it's Red Skull again, but it's not...
Yeah, it's not Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving, but still. I mean, it's the fact his character's in there again, like, I don't know. I just really like what they've
done. I did see a comic strip today that was exactly what we were talking about. It said, the only conversation we didn't get to see in Endgame that we wanted to see, and it was, you know, Steve meeting up with Red Skull, and like, hey, what have you been up to?
Yeah.
You seen any new villains lately? And he's like, well, Zola was a computer for a bit, but, you know, nobody really. So, like, do I give you the Soul Stone? Nah, just chuck it in the pit over there.
But, you know, like, yes, I was wondering the same thing. It's true.
Like, that is a huge gap. That's one thing that they didn't address. And I don't know if it's because people didn't ask it or if they were just like, oh, we're not talking about that. But, you know, there was a lot of continuity error.
Well, there's going to be bonus footage.
Yeah.
Or something like that that's going to be on the DVD. And it's going to be like in a comedic style of Steve taking the stones back.
Yeah.
I bet.
They did ask about Gamora. And the Russos were like, well, we know that Star-Lord's looking for her.
Yeah.
Some version of her exists right now, but it's not the one that, you know, formed all those bonds with them and worked with them. I mean, this was a version of Gamora before she ever met Groot and Rocket and Drax. And,
This is before she was imprisoned.
Which she was still trying to get out from under Thanos' thumb.
Yes.
But she didn't have friends.
Right.
In low places.
With the beer drowns in the...
Oh, I don't know the rest of the words to that.
Blues away.
My neck is white.
And I'll be okay. Hey. So I did not watch Flash or Supergirl or Arrow.
God damn. I'm assuming, though, you must be caught up on Legends.
I did watch 3 episodes of Legends today.
So you are caught up.
Yes.
So you know what I mean when I say hypnotized.
Okay, so hypnotized is hilarious. And also when... Ray's hand tries to kill.
I told you in like the first 6 minutes.
And he goes, not groovy.
Not groovy at all.
Not groovy at all.
And it was his right hand. Yeah, and I'm like, and then you're like, I didn't watch it. I'm like, God damn it. I can't say anything.
No, it
like,
was awesome.
Like if I had said anything of that, even if I had said right hand, it would have been a tip off. Like, no.
I did like, I don't like, Gary gets his nipple back. And he goes evil.
Of course he goes evil, but in the dumbest way possible.
Here's the thing.
Gonna like, do performance reviews.
Gary being tempted by getting his nipple back so he can become whole again. Any other show or movie, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck is this? Oh, shit.
Yes.
With this, you're like, yeah, okay, cool. Makes you're sense. Like,
awesome. He has an eye in his nipple.
Yeah, and then, yes, later on when he's nipotizing people, he has an eye in his nipple. And then the werewolf lady, she bites it off.
Uh-huh. Which, again,
and again, legend. I'm like, this fits.
Yes.
All of this fits.
It tracks, and I approve.
Yeah.
You know, Constantine meets his ancestor that is him in a different wig. Absolutely.
Fair enough.
100%.
Fair enough.
I am on board.
Yeah. Basically,
And then it ended in the most Legends way that it possibly could have lately, which is where this whole time Neron has been talking to John about opening a portal to hell because he wants to get his beloved Tabitha out.
Tabitha.
And he's like, who's Tabitha? And he's like, the love of my life and blah, blah, blah. And then he brings her out and it's the goddamn fairy godmother
Absolutely.
Oh my God. It was brilliant.
Oh, no.
And then they kiss and they're like, is that tongue? Oh my God, this is so wrong. And then she even goes so far as just like waving her wand and getting rid of the wolf powers.
Yeah.
And then they just walk off and he's like, let's get you a new vessel. And we're all like, oh, thank God. But, you know, at the same time, of course that would be Tabitha because this is a show that has a demon fighting a stuffed animal.
Right.
You know, that was Captain Powered out into existence.
And they brought that up a couple episodes ago, I think. Rory probably brought it up, the stuff that, like, when he was yelling at Nora about something.
Yeah.
I like how quickly they determined that Nora didn't kill Hank.
Yep.
And
it didn't drag out at all.
I like that. And then Nate finds Hank's plans to build this theme park. Again, if this was any other show or movie, it wouldn't work.
But no. He's got literal crayon drawings from his son.
The fact that he's building theme park based on crayon drawings that his son did.
And that they're construction workers. They're like, yeah, I got the plans right here.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, oh, you must be Ann's son.
It was just so...
And then he just kept calling him, what's up, Ann's son?
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. And, again, perfect for this show. I love the fact that Mick had to go and out himself as Rebecca Silver.
Oh, I like how he's not going to go. And then whatever, the girl's just like,
Charlie's like, it's $20,000.
Yes, we're going to go get this money. I'll be you. Okay.
And he's like, yeah. And then he has to teach her how to be Rebecca Silver. And then she, what's her name there? Calls him out.
Yeah.
Why did he do this? Blah, blah, blah. And Mick just rants. He's just like, you know why? Because of love. The one universal force. He just goes off on this tear. It was absolutely beautiful. And basically,
and she's like, you are Rebecca Silver. I recognize that guidance anywhere.
I love this show. I used to hate this show, and I just love it
so
much.
The last two seasons have been so good.
Oh, my God. So good.
I'm almost like, Supergirl going away? Okay.
Yeah.
Arrow going away? Oh, okay, about time. Legends going away? Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like this show to stick around. You know, I like getting the Batwoman show. I like that we might get a Constantine show.
By the way, CW officially announced today or yesterday that they've optioned the Batwoman show.
Yeah,
that's like, we've known about it all along.
Right.
But they finally said, yes, we've decided
before. Well, they had to tell us about the other new Mystery Woman show, Nancy Drew coming back.
And Nancy Drew and not Kate Kane.
The Hardy
Kane.
Boys?
No. It's not Kate Kane, but it's like
Cassandra Kelly.
Something like that. It's a third show that they're Yeah. No, Kate Kane is Batwoman. That's all I can think of. But it's like Kit Kelly or something like that.
Oh.
It's something. I don't know. It's a third show.
Kit Kelly, like, reporter. Something like that. I remember that being something.
Yeah.
I don't remember now.
But, yeah. I just thought it was weird that we've all known about this for a while, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, we've decided. Katie Keene.
Katie Keene.
But it's K's. They're not moving forward with the Jane the Virgin spinoff. Katie Keene is a spinoff of Riverdale. Never mind. Don't care.
That makes sense.
It's
hey, apparently they released a 7 hours ago, it says they released a Batwoman teaser.
Don't believe everything you say.
Oh, is it the old one?
It probably is. It's probably because they made that announcement, and so some fan put up some stupid hobble-together thing. Ugh, remember how we've gotten screwed by that in the past?
We have gotten screwed by that in the past.
So I will say Supergirl this week, meh. The real Miss Tessmacher, please stand up. That was interesting. They got to play detective for a while. James is a full-on superhero. The end. But Flash was interesting. And by interesting, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, will this season be over yet? Because honestly, when you look back at this season of Flash, it's been kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, last season was really dumb. It really sucked with DeVoe and all the, you know, oh, now I can transfer my conscious and now I can, you know, suck the brains out of people and do that. It was pretty stupid and it really got campy. This season, like, the family drama has gotten in the way. Cicada, who fucking cares? Like, he doesn't have any motivation other than let's kill Meadows. Like, there's no greater motivation.
No, there's not.
And now that
my niece was killed by Meadows.
Yeah. And then he's gone. And now his niece has taken over Cicada. And she has even less motivation. But this episode gave us a twist in the last, I'd say, 30 seconds that make you go, wow, wait a minute.
Which is what?
They actually, so this whole episode has been trying to stop Cicada because now they've got the mirror gun that can destroy her dagger. And she's going to set off a bomb that she's created, you know, because she always gets to these parts before they do. And she knows what she's doing because she's apparently super smart. So she's put together a meta bomb that's going to kill all the metas. So they decide, oh, hey, we'll invite all the metas down to CCPD and give them the cure so that they can be cured so that they won't be metas and then her bomb won't hurt them. And now they're setting up Joe to be the chief of police next season. But anyway, so in their final moments. That'll
keep him off the road, but keep him on the show.
Right,
which for health-wise, it's
probably a good thing. You know, Cicada actually makes a comment at one point because she has to use her dagger to power the bomb. And they're like, well, you don't have your dagger. And she's like, I never needed my dagger. I didn't have it until I came back to this time period. I can kick your ass without it. And she's got all that 0 point energy power that she has. So she's kicking all their asses. But Ralph's been bugged this whole time. He's like, what's going on? What is Thawne's plan? Why would Thawne be trying to help Nora? Blah, blah, blah. There's got to be more to it. And they're like, no. And he's talking about divergent timelines stuff. He's like, we're missing something in here. He's like, there was an original Cicada. And then this new Cicada was created when we skewed it off because what's his name? DeVoe used the satellite and then Nora came and helped you blow it up, which diverted the timeline, which we all remember. So we got a new Cicada out of that. Now his niece has taken over. But what happened in the meantime? Like, she got the dagger when she came back here. She didn't have it, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's Thawne's time for execution. And they take him to this special chair. You know, it's like a slab, but it's got a shield on it. And they strap him down. And they pull off that chest plate that they've had on the whole time, and the dagger is strapped to him. So they've been using it as a power dampener on him this whole time.
Oh.
And so he has been tricking them to destroy Cicada's dagger, because if it's destroyed in the past, it can never be used as a...
I'm not going to say not for nothing. That's genius. That is a very good storyline, actually.
As Ralph said, Thawne's plans always have plans inside of plans. What is going on here? And he realizes that at the last second, as like Cisco throws the dagger, Barry's got the gun, he's about to shoot it, and Ralph's like, dude! And then it cuts out. Because we saw that Thawne has the dagger on him in the future, and it's like, oh, that's brilliant. Like, he if this is the way that they're going, A, he literally set them up beautifully.
Yeah, he did.
And B, this could be setting up Thawne as the villain of season 6.
Yep.
Which I'm all about because since we're going to get Crisis on Infinite Earths, that'd be a great way for it to kick off.
Yep.
Yep.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. So, like, literally, I was like, this sucks, this sucks. And then the last 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah! Yeah! So.
This is amazing!
Nice.
My one note was, so that's where the dagger has been. Hypnotized. Gary hypnotized everybody. Did you watch The Blacklist?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
The DNA twist. Very sci-fi-ish.
It was a Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah, for sure. It was very sci-fi-ish. Wasn't very Blacklist-ish, really. I mean, no. I guess it was, but it was more... It was a departure from their normal type of storylines.
Yeah.
you know, enhanced humans, DNA altered people. I mean,
yeah, he created triplets and twins and stuff so that he could test their effects. And at the end of the day, like, you expected there to be like some villain behind the whole thing who was like trying to get a cure for something that ailed them. No, this guy's just like, you're destroying the planet. How many SUVs did the FBI bring to stop me? I counted 8. You're destroying the planet. I'm trying to make resilient kids because there's an island out there where people only grew to be like 3 foot tall because they didn't have many resources, so they had to evolve. So I'm evolving people. You're like, really? It reminds you of the bug guy earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So I was kind of, I don't know. It was okay.
But the best part of the episode was
Ant-Man freaking out.
Well, that, I was going to say Red's torture guy trying to pass it on to his son.
Yes, yes.
I didn't realize that was his son at first. And he's like, he's not going to talk. She put the fear of God in him. And the guy's like, I'll go in there. He's like, there's nothing more disappointing than when your kid disappoints you. Oh, my God. It's like a knife in the heart. He's saying it with his son right there. He's like, so much for our family business.
It's just hilarious, though, how he rolls in. He goes, all right, he's got like bees. And he's like, I need you to take those pants off.
Yeah. He's always got some kind of animal, and he's always just so matter-of-fact about it. And then he comes out later, and he's like, he sang like a canary. I don't know what his son was doing wrong, but...
I kind of like the fact that the door's closed, that we don't see what happened.
Exactly. And we don't hear screams or anything like that. It's just, it's matter-of-fact.
Yep.
And the woman even, the woman who runs the shop, she's like, you know, you're going to owe me for that if you broke things in there. If I have to get an exterminator, you're paying for it.
Yeah, she was good, too. She didn't seem to care that they were torturing people.
Nope. What else you got?
I watched 2 new shows this week.
Ooh.
I watched a couple episodes of the one on Netflix there, Christina Applegate, Dead to Me.
Dead to Me. Watched the whole thing.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
10 episodes, right?
Yep.
I watched the first 2 so far. Linda Cardellini character.
Cardellini
character. Whatever. Tortellini, Cardellini. There we go. Anyways. Of course, the whole time, like, there's something off about her. There's something off about her. There's something off about her. You know what I mean?
She's way too happy to be in a grief group.
Well, not just that, but, like, there's just something. And then you find out, I definitely watched 2. Because you find out either in the first or the second episode, her husband's not actually dead. They broke up. But she had those 5 miscarriages, and the last one she was very far along. And, you know, okay, all right, that's okay. So she's hiding. And then, of course, the end, you know, oh, no, she murdered. She's the driver of the hit and run that killed her husband. Yeah.
So. The twists keep coming, my friend.
Oh, do they?
Oh, they really do.
Well, I think the people that did Pretty Little Liars did this. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But I plan on continuing to watch it. I watched 2.
Yep. The premise behind it is that Christina Applegate, her husband was killed in a hit and run.
Yep.
And she's going to a grief group and she meets Linda Cardellini, who is way too peppy to be at a grief group, but she lost her husband. But like Mike said, you know, we find out very quickly that she didn't actually lose her husband. They broke up. And
they were engaged. They were just engaged.
Yeah.
And they broke up, and she'd had multiple miscarriages.
And he's played by James Marsden.
Yeah.
And James Marsden does a great job of being a complete asshole, but a slimy, slick asshole that you kind of love to hate.
See, we don't actually see that in the first 2 episodes.
Mm.
We see he's like the victim,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. It's got a lot of twists. It's got a lot of drama. It's 30 minutes each, but there's also some comedy in there. Like, have you seen Christine Applegate? Has she shown you her way of meditating?
Yes, that's in like the first episode.
Death metal music.
Death metal, yeah.
Her sons. She's got a 14-year-old son who's a complete fucking prick.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And never gets better. I will tell you that right now. He never gets redeemed.
That's too bad.
And then she's got her, like, 8-year-old who is actually a cool shit for a while.
Oh.
But I like it for the most part. But, yeah, I like it. It was a good show.
All right. Well, I definitely plan on continuing to watch it.
Good.
I also watched the first episode of Chambers.
I've got that one on my list, but I haven't checked it out. Is it good?
I enjoyed the first episode. It's a little, this is what kind of threw me off a little bit. The Chambers follows the story of a teenager who, after receiving a heart transplant, is haunted by unexplained visions. As the visions grow more troublesome and happen more often, she begins to unravel the horrifying circumstances and the conspiracy led to the donor's mysterious death.
It's basically a Twilight Zone episode. Exactly. I got my hand replaced by a serial killer, and now it wants to kill.
Yeah, I mean, there's been other movies like this, Body Parts. But what was interesting was, so the main character, the girl there, I thought she was like Latino, Mexican, or whatever. And so was in her uncle, whoever the guy is that she calls Frank, that's her guardian, I think. She's supposed to be in high school.
Okay.
And then later on, you see, like, there's a Indian mascot at this school, and someone says to her, yeah, I petitioned to have that removed for us to change that. And I went, oh, shit, she's Native American. That explains a lot, actually, now.
Oh, this is a different show.
But, you know, like, sincerely, because it takes place, like, in Arizona. So, and then I thought with her being, like, Mexican, I thought there was going to be a lot of immigration crappy things going on or whatever.
Gotcha.
And then, oh, no, she's Native American. Okay, that changes a lot, you know.
Really spins the narrative.
Well, it kind of,
Yeah.
Yeah, it just like, oh, okay, this is going to be different than I thought it was going to be. But the first episode was good. It was creepy. You know, no, without spoiling anything, Tony Goodwin and Uma Thurman play the parents of the donor girl. And, of course, they are weird as fuck.
The one who donated the
body? Yeah, the girl that died and donated her,
gotcha,
her heart. Got her heart donated to this girl that received it. Yeah, they're messed up. Just messed up. But I enjoyed the first episode, and I definitely plan on continuing to watch it.
You know what I did not watch this week, speaking of first episodes? I have not started watching Chernobyl yet.
I have not either, because it's something that Kate wants to watch. Just like I didn't watch Game of Thrones this week, because
yeah, I really wish we could talk about Game of Thrones.
No.
I have a lot of feelings on Game of Thrones.
You know what's weird? I have not avoided social media like I did after the previous weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Winterfell battle, whatever you want
to
call
it. So basically the only thing that you know about is the fact that there was a Starbucks coffee cup on the table.
Yeah.
Because everyone won't stop talking about
it. Right, but that's the other thing. I haven't seen shit tons of spoilers at all.
No.
Not like we did the week before.
No.
You couldn't look at Facebook without seeing spoilers last week.
Because this one was an hour and 12 minutes long, and a lot happened.
Yeah.
And the only thing you find online is that goddamn Starbucks cup. It's really pathetic, actually.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to have to really dive into this because I have a lot of feelings and not many of them are positive.
Well, if we wait till Tuesday and record Tuesday, we'll have two episodes to talk about.
Yeah. At the very least, we need one episode to talk about.
Yeah.
There was some bullshit, some straight up bullshit in this episode.
Okay.
Like some grade A.
Oh, wow.
Primo Wagyu bullshit.
Okay, well, I wasn't getting that feeling from Jenna at work when she watched it.
How old is Jenna?
21.
There you go.
Okay. So,
how many intelligent 21-year-olds do you know?
Not many.
Yeah.
So,
actually, I shouldn't say that. They're all intelligent, but
yeah, I know. Like, what you mean.
I'm much more critical of this kind of stuff because
Jenna was like, oh my God, have you watched it yet? You have to watch it. I'm like, Jenna, it's Sunday night. You literally just finished watching it. And I told you before you started, I'm not going to watch it without my wife.
I can't believe you didn't even respond to me the other night.
What?
You sent me that message. You're like, I'm not watching this because Kate wants to watch it. She's out of town. And I said, insert whip cracking noise here. Nothing. Not a response from you.
You're welcome. What am I supposed to respond to that?
You could have at least acknowledged that you're whipped.
Yeah. Instead, I just chose to ignore it, which it bothered you now for several days.
Yeah. It's not like it's been eating at me, but I looked at it and I'm like, what a dick move.
Yeah. I did not watch that Watchers trailer. I didn't
have the Watchmen trailer?
The Watchmen trailer you sent me. Do you want me to pause it and watch it?
Yeah, pause it and watch it.
Okay. So we'll do a little bit. So anyways, so then the next day she says, did you watch Game of Thrones? I was like, I told you no. Well, I thought you could ask your wife if she was going to watch it by herself out in Maryland so you could watch it. And I went, I did. She said no. Just no. She can't watch it there. She doesn't have the opportunity to watch it.
So this is the person whose opinion on the show
you are taking. No, I'm not. So she didn't say good or bad about it. She just was excited. She just wanted to talk about it, right?
She was the puppy peeing on the floor. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God.
Check this out. So no, sorry, before that. So then Monday I said, oh, Jenna, you'll be happy to know that I watched. And then I waited, you know, gave a nice good pregnant pause. And she spun around like, oh, you watched Game of Thrones. And I went, that Ted Bundy movie you told me about. You're a jerk, Michael. I thought you were going to ask me what. And then we had that conversation.
I was going to go with that one, or I was going to ask you if you did the, Jenna, you watch Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
I still haven't watched it yet. I just wanted to make sure. I was just doing a poll.
I'm going to do that. I'll probably do that tomorrow night when I go to work.
Yeah.
Jenna, about Game of Thrones. Yes. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah. Oh, that one scene with the coffee cup in it. Yeah. I know all about that. Haven't watched the episode, though.
Yeah, I haven't watched it at all. Yeah, so Chambers is solid.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first episode. I'll watch more. Cloak and Dagger.
Are you caught up?
I'm caught up. I watched B-Sides.
Holy God. So remember how the week before you hadn't watched it and I said that it was kind of weird?
Yeah.
We were getting those weird images of her in like a wedding dress or something and it was never really fully explained.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they were going to explain it in the next episode. Like it was one of those that it wasn't to be continued, but it was. Like they were setting us up in the episode before.
Yeah.
That was spectacular in my opinion.
So the B-Sides episode.
Yeah.
The whole episode is basically
Tandy.
No. Andre and Leah trying to fool Tandy into kind of giving up herself. And they make her think that she's been trapped and then they make her think that she's free and then trapped again. And then she's escaped and then she meets up with every Tyrone and all the way around the block and everything. And
showing her different possible realities.
Yes. And then in the end, she's still captured.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, I thought it was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was, I don't know, just okay.
Okay.
That's all.
I loved it. I love the use of the records and the songs.
I do like that. Yeah, I did like that. The soundtrack was good in this week. Yeah.
It was interesting to see the different realities play out in her head. You know, where they kept encountering each other one way or another.
Yeah.
And when they'd touch, the powers would explode and she'd come back. They're like, we got to put her back under. And they kept drugging her up and drugging her up. And then, like you said, it wasn't until they finally basically gave her the impression that she had gotten away.
Yeah.
But then Tyrone gets shot because they confront the guy as he's trying to escape. And beautiful line. She says, you know, crap, I can't remember. It was something along the lines of like, you know, I can do anything as long as he's with me. And he's like, yeah, I made the same assumption. And he turns and he fires at Tyrone instead of her.
Yeah.
And
that was cool.
Yeah. And three shots right in the chest. Kid goes down.
Same ass, yeah.
Which she should know. Like she's seen him absorb bullets. She's seen him absorb people. Like
but she's also mentally pretty much fried.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's been battling them for so long.
Yeah. She's been going through the different realities and then the hodgepodge of those different realities crossing over and you know, seeing her parents and then not seeing her parents. And so it was I really liked it. But
I didn't say it was bad, I just
you thought it was
I thought it was okay.
Okay. Did you watch Superstore this week?
I did. It was Cloud Green.
Yeah. Which we got a story about Jonah being named the Green Ambassador and way overdoing it. And so.
And then acting like no one else wants to do it. And then Amy's
Cheyenne.
She's like, I'll do it. And then now Jonah's like, oh, really? Really? What?
And he basically makes his own team and goes against her and blah, blah, blah. Real weird story for Glenn, though.
Yeah, Glenn, yeah.
Like, his pastor showed up to visit with him, and then, like, he let the guy stand there and hawk his book, and pretty soon the guy's, like,
first he was handing out plants.
Yeah.
And then he's doing a reading and selling his book.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Glenn's just, like, allowing it to happen, and Amy's, like, trying to be reasonable with Glenn, and then Glenn's just not being reasonable.
He's basically being a child. He's, like, pitching a fit, and he's like, then I take the job back. She's like, it doesn't work that way, buddy. Yeah. And the whole time, Dina was fanning the flames. Like, she's going up to both of them, pitting them against each other.
Yeah.
And she was, like, genuinely pissed when they were working together in the end.
What? Working together to write him up.
Right.
Yeah.
He's showing her how to properly.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to uncheck that box and check this one.
I don't know why, but it's just this way it works.
Yeah.
Glenn was a weird episode. An impetuous child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really like that look on him. Like, he's always been weird, but this was, like, him literally having some hissy fits, yeah, and, you know, hijacking the PA system to read passages from the Bible. And yeah, I didn't like it.
I will say that the next week there's two episodes. The week after that there's two episodes.
And then we're done.
Yeah. I watched Schooled. It's about when the concert that the Music Scouts attend is the same day as the school talent show.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to do both, but she decides to be there for her teacher, her student.
Yep.
I thought that was good. That was a good B story. The main story of integrating the school with the internet. Loved it.
Was not awesome. Oh,
the coach is just the best character.
Really is.
And I saw the bit of like, she can't handle a spider, much likely a web that encompasses the whole wide world.
Yeah. Or the fact that they were using hackers,
yes,
as the basis for.
Oh my, yes,
God. I loved Lainey when basically they called her out. She's like, I was going to ditch. She's like, I basically have been lining up this cough all week.
Yes.
And I was even dropping hints that my aunt was sick. She's like, I had this whole plan. I've been laying the groundwork and you just ruined it all for me. Yeah. It was awesome.
I liked when he, quick, principal, there's an emergency. Someone's hacked the school website and put dingus all over or dink all over or whatever. And he's like, I'm just teaching you a lesson. And the person's like, so, and it's like, no, it's just on this computer. That's not how the World Wide Web works. Right. It's on all the computers. Yeah.
Yeah, back when people didn't fully understand the internet. I mean, some people still don't.
Some people still don't. But yeah, back then, they definitely did not know how that shit worked.
At all.
Nope. All right.
Tacoma FD.
You know what? I actually completely forgot I need to watch that.
This episode introduced everybody's favorite volunteer firefighter, played by Will Sasso.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's a great guy anyway. I love
Will Sasso. I think Will Sasso's great.
I didn't watch What We Do in the Shadows this week.
Fuck, that's another one I keep forgetting I need to watch.
I did see they just renewed it for a second season. So.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I was talking to a friend of mine who hadn't seen Thor Ragnarok, and she's messaging me, and she's like, oh my God, I love this Korg guy. I love his voice. I love his mannerisms. And I'm like, yeah, that's Taika Waititi. He's the director. And he's also the one who gave us What We Do in the Shadows, which you love so much. Oh my God, I fucking love him even more now. Like, yep.
I did watch, where is it? Sorry, hold on. Oh, I already read that. Nope. Oh, the kids are all right. It's still just a great show. They dealt with this was hilarious, actually, because they one kid who's of age that he could be, you know, masturbating, whatever. They think he is, but he's like 13 or 12 or whatever.
And just the way you said of age, like usually because they have
like seven kids. And yeah. So, you know, so the one that's now about 13 would be like, oh, are you thinking, okay. Oh, you know, and basically it's like, oh, this one's starting. You know, you need to deal with this. I don't want to clean the sheets anymore, blah, 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 right? So, essentially, his dad goes to have a talk with him, but his talk with him is like, let's go outside and play catch. The kid doesn't know how to play catch. It's hilarious. He starts with, like, throwing the glove at the dad. And then he realizes what he needs to do. And his dad's like, look, we need to have a talk about being older, and we need your mom to think we're doing this. So we're going to play catch for, like, 20 minutes and talk to each other without saying anything. And then we go in and just say, great talk, dad, and walk off and get your mother off my back. And so that's what they do. But, of course, this is the actor kid. So he says, inspiring conversation, father, and walks off, you know, or whatever. Nice. So then, like, mom's like, oh, he's found these sheets again. And so she basically, like, they're saying how great mom is and how she doesn't do anything and or, like, she wouldn't be doing anything like that. And then they show a scene of the dad outside with his shirt off splitting wood. And apparently their washing machine is outside.
Okay.
And so she's just turned the water. She's standing against the washer on the spin cycle, watching dad.
Nice.
And then later on in the episode or whatever like that, they're watching, they're watching like TV. And there's like a guy on TV splitting one of his shirt off. She's like, I gotta go do a little laundry. And she gets up and walks off. And in the dad character is just like, man, she never stops working. You know, like, anyways, so the kid, they think that, So then the dad goes to the oldest brother and goes, you need to talk to your brother about masturbating because I'm not doing it. And so he goes to talk to his brother about it. And at the long and the short of it, he's not masturbating. He doesn't even know what that is. He's not doing that. He's building puppets. And it's the Elmer's glue. And he's building them like at night when people are sleeping. So he's under his sheets with a flashlight because people are going to make fun of him for his stick puppets of the family that he's making. And he's ashamed of it. And so then his brother's like, oh, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. Da, 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 da. So then later on, he's working on them. He's like, oh, wait, I don't want to get glue on my bed again and get mom mad at me. So he like grabs the Sears catalog and opens it up. And of course he's getting like glue all over the pages and this and that. And then he closes it
up. Awesome. Like,
look at this. Look at this. These pages are stuck. What is wrong with them? This is the women's sport coat section. You know, like it wasn't even like, which I think is even funnier because it's not like the lingerie and the bathing suit. It's like, these are the women's sport coat section. And then, of course, finally at the end, the big reveal happens, and he's just making stick puppets. My son. Anyways, so it was just an extra funny episode this week. Thanks. Yeah, I really liked
it. Usually ones that deal with bodily fluids, you know, masturbation, diarrhea. Those are the real cream of the crop episodes. Those are the ones. Yeah, I said cream of the crop. Bozinga.
So I think the only other show we have to talk about is Killing Eve.
Oh, shit. I forgot to watch it.
No, you didn't. You told me earlier you watched it.
Yeah.
Are you all caught up?
Completely caught up. Five episodes.
Okay, I watched episode 5 this morning. I tried to watch it last night, but it kept giving me an error message. Hmm. But I was able to watch it this morning. So what do you think of season 2?
I think this show was awesome.
I do too.
The one thing that really stuck with me was that first episode back, because it picks up 30 seconds later.
Yes.
After Eve has stabbed Villanelle and escaped, and seeing the two of them both essentially trying to escape from the people that are storming the building.
Yes, because three people show up and they're cleaners, if you will. And they even kill the old French lady neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Villanelle's doing her own thing to escape with a stab wound, and Eve is doing her own thing to escape the cleaners and not be part of, you know, their cleaning repertoire, basically.
She ends up in the hospital. I'm just trying to think of how.
Villanelle ends up in the hospital because she basically collapses.
Right, but doesn't she get kidnapped first?
She's in the hospital in the first episode. I thought the kidnapping happened in the second episode. Yeah, the kidnapping happened in the second episode because that's after she escapes. She ends up in the hospital because she collapsed. And I can't remember exactly why, but I remember that she fell down and she wakes up and she's like, how long have I been here? And because then later she collapses in the hospital and she's like, how long was I asleep? Right. And he's like, all night. And she's like, but she's doing her own thing, like sneaking around the hospital and getting different
things. Trying to get money, trying to put some money together, trying to figure out how she's going to get cheap. Her main focus is she's going to London.
Yeah, she's going to London to meet up with Eve because that is what her destiny is. And it's what really got me, though, because you're watching this and it's just a normal show. You know, you're just watching Villanelle try to escape. You're watching Eve, you know, deal with the blowback from the fact that she's not telling anybody that she met Villanelle, much less that she stabbed her.
Yeah.
And she's dealing with that herself. So you think, okay, this is just a normal type thing, you know, of this person doing this, this person doing this. And then all of a sudden, like, Villanelle's been befriending this 12, 13 year old boy
who was in a car accident and his face is all stove up.
His face is all stove up. And she, in true Villanelle fashion, like, he shows her and she's like, oh my God, that's disgusting. You look horrible. Never take your bandage off. Nobody's ever going to love you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're like, wow, that's, and he's kind of befriends her, kind of like helps her out. She's like, do you have any money? And he's like, no. She says something about, you know, your parents must hate you. And he's like, my parents died in that car accident. I'm all alone. And then he makes the mistake at the end of the episode of saying, you know, I just wish that I had died with them. And so she snaps his neck.
Yeah.
Like, she just walks over and grabs him by the head and snaps his neck. And then we find out later she posed his body holding an apple with a bite taken out of it, like a famous painting.
Well, Eve, Adam and Garden Eve. Of Eden,
But that was when I was reminded, oh, yeah, she is a goddamn psychopath.
Yeah, she is. Now, who looked kind of hot in the pajamas that she stole from? The 12-year-old.
The, the little boy pajamas.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a little form-fitting.
She's a very attractive woman anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. And it went downhill from there. So we find out that Constantine, her handler, that she shot in the last season, isn't dead.
He's alive.
Yeah. MI6 has him. And they're like, oh, surprise.
He's turned informant.
Yeah, turned informant. His family is being protected by witness protection.
Yep.
But then he decides he wants to know where they are. They won't tell him. Villanelle gets kidnapped by that guy who basically...
Well, she cons...
That was weird.
Okay, so she meets this guy at the grocery store and then cons him into bringing her home or something because she's going to rob him or whatever.
Well, there was a guy sitting outside the supermarket. She kind of pegged him as a tail. So she was like, that's my stepfather and he beats me and, you know, just let me walk out behind you so that he can't see me leave the store. And the guy's like, I don't want to get involved. And so she thinks she's just conning him.
But instead she ends up... This guy's crazy.
Yeah, but... Almost like a passive crazy. Like he's crazy. Like he wants to brush her hair and he's got all those creepy dolls and he's got his 90-year-old mother walking around with dementia that he locks every door and window in the house so that she can't get out. But he is crazy. Like,
yeah, but then he.
You haven't appreciated anything that I've done for you.
It makes me think he's killed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or at the very least raped. Yeah.
Yes, at the very least raped. And then Villanelle kills him.
Very violently.
Very violently kills him.
Poses him so that he's, like, facing up in the air. She stabbed him in the neck. He's bleeding all over himself. And yeah, she really...
And she escapes just to be picked up by another handler.
Yep.
Her new handler. But Eve shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And because the whole time they're trying to tell her, Eve doesn't care about you. Eve doesn't care about you. And Villanelle's believing and not believing. And then obviously in the fifth episode, you find out that, you know, Villanelle, for whatever reason, needs Eve to believe in her.
Yeah. Because meanwhile, building up to this, Eve has been dealing with the fact that there's another woman out there killing that they call the ghost.
Yes. And at first they're blaming Villanelle for the murders. And Eve's just like, no, this isn't her. Right. These aren't extravagant enough or showy enough.
Right.
I mean, shit, you see in the episode where Villanelle kills that guy
in the
red light district.
Literally my favorite thing of this season.
I mean, holy shit.
It was so much fun to watch her dressed up in the little Swiss Miss outfit
with the piggy
mask.
Yeah.
But like cute little piggy mask, like anime pig. And then she does the little curtsies and the dances in front of the whole crowded street, including the guy's wife.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I wonder, I'm sure she hired him.
Yeah.
Or Villanelle told her to be down there, but she strings him up by his ankles and then murders him.
The woman might have actually hired them.
And because Villanelle looks right at her.
Yep.
And the woman standing right there like, yep, that's my husband. He's a piece of shit.
Yep. But I mean, she never says a word. No. She just pantomimes the whole thing and she has a knife and people are like, oh, I've heard about this. It's really extreme.
Yeah. And then she murders the guy and people are like, oh, that looks so real.
And she just leaves. She does a little curtsy.
Yep.
And then leaves. It was amazing. Yep.
Her murders are definitely showy.
It was amazing. I just couldn't get over it enough.
I like how Eve works on the ghost and discovers like that ghost has been around a long time, killing a lot of people.
Yeah, she's an older Asian woman.
With kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then Eve finds her like that because of this poison she used.
Yeah.
It's trackable.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. If no one's looking for you, then you probably start to slack a little bit because no one's looking for you.
Well, for me personally, if I was doing this kind of stuff, say if I was a hitman, and I went for a long time without anybody knowing it was me, without anybody understanding what I'd been doing, I'd probably get a little showy. You know, maybe not to the point where I'd be like, look what I've done, but, you know, I'd want to have a calling card maybe. You know, I'd want people, like Jack the Ripper, you know, I'd want people to go, oh, that was John that did that. No, I'm not going to become a serial killer. This is not the podcast where this one starts. Mike's going to start his own podcast about how he knew me when. No, but she's gone so many years undetected that she's probably like, I want to make sure that they know that it's me.
Yep. Well, Eve catches her.
Very quickly.
And she gets arrested.
Rapidly.
Yeah. And she gets arrested.
Yep.
And then they want to know who...
This was a little weird.
Yeah, it was. They want to know who hired her.
Because by now,
works for, and she won't say.
By now, Constantine has reneged on his deal with MI6.
Yes.
Broken away. He's back with Villanelle. They're doing freelance work, and she's getting pissy because all the work is like scorned lovers and pissed off rap. Like, she has that one guy that she literally, like, he's got a sports car. He's walking up to it. She's standing up there with a milkshake. She waits for him to get in it. She throws it down, knowing that he'll now have to go to the car wash. Then she goes to the car wash.
And murders him.
Murders him in the middle of the car wash cycle and then walks away. And then she's pissed about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they're back doing their thing. So now they've got the ghost captured.
Well, because going back a little bit, Eve is the one that told Constantine where his family was, but she wanted to know where Villanelle was. Mm-hmm. So Constantine told her where Villanelle was, and then went and took and then got there before them and said, "Hey, they're coming for you."
That was a really tense and sexy scene where they raided that hotel and they're both on either side of the door, and you're like, "What's gonna happen? What's gonna?" And then Eve just suddenly goes, "She's behind this door!" And everybody charges in, and they're gone. She's like, "No!"
Yeah,
that was great.
It was awesome.
And then you got Villanelle taunting her with the postcards. You know, "My dearest Eve, hope you're still thinking of me." Sending it away. And then the handler, the MI6 lady, actually finds it and tucks it away.
So in this episode called Smell You Later, the episode 5, Eve put a hit on herself for Villanelle to come kill her. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, there's they're trying to get information from this ghost. And for whatever reason, Eve decides that the only person that's going to get the information out of her is Villanelle.
Yeah.
So she put a hit on herself because she wants Villanelle to expose her, you know, to come after her as well, because she wants to see her because she still feels guilty about stabbing her. For whatever reason, there's some sort of odd connection between the two of them. But I don't know what her name is, but the pregnant black lady that works with Eve.
Doesn't matter.
Brings up, this was odd to me. She's like, "You know, it's kind of weird. You don't complain about all the red tape and the paperwork that we have to do." "Well, I don't do any red tape or paperwork." "What are you talking about?" "I don't do any paperwork. Everyone does paperwork. We have to. We have to, you know, log all this stuff, file all this stuff, show that we've done this work." "I've never done any of that." No wonder it doesn't bother her. She's like, "What do you think it's odd that they're not requiring you to do that? Almost like they don't want people to know you're here." And he's just like, "Well, whatever."
Yeah.
And then cut to, she put a hit on herself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for the MI6 boss lady's son because
he's kind of really caught in the middle.
Yeah, he is, because it's like his mom is who she is, and then he really respects and likes Eve, but then Eve is like, but then he's like, "I'm just like my mom."
Yeah, because she screwed him over.
Yeah,
big time. She got the information out of him,
big time.
And then fucked him over, and then was like, "Man, sucks to be you." She's almost becoming a little psychopathic herself.
A little bit, yeah. She has that temptation to push that guy in front of the train on the for bumping into her at the train station.
And they're already foreshadowing an awful lot with her husband.
Yes.
Because her husband is a very nice guy. He's very patient. To the best of our knowledge, he's got this beautiful young professor there at the academy that he teaches at, that she wants him bad.
She wants all kinds of him up inside her.
And you know, Villanelle talks to her.
Yeah.
And she basically says, "No, he won't do anything. He's married, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't get with him." Villanelle's like, "You should do this and this and this." She goes, "That sounds manipulative." And she's like, "Yeah, it is. Do it." But she basically, you know, says, "Spray your perfume in his room so that he always smells you."
Yeah.
You know.
Little things.
Villanelle is trying to drive a wedge there. Eve is driving her own wedges by.
She's so hyper focused on trying to find Villanelle and on her job that she's ignoring and neglecting her husband. Mm-hmm. And like, her husband, Eve comes home late from work or whatever it is, and there's a guy in the house, and he's making dinner for this guy. And her husband's like, "Oh, you haven't met our bodyguard that was here when I got home? Just showed up." "Oh, yeah, it's no big deal." And she tries to play it off like it's no big deal. Yeah. And he's like, "Eve, this is a big deal. MI6 does not hire civilians bodyguards."
Right.
"Why is he here?" And she won't tell him for one reason or the other.
Which is dumb.
Yep. And then he's off now on this field trip to Oxford. So while he's going to be gone a couple of days, this is when she puts a hit on herself.
Well, what was weird leading up to this part? I mean, there's a lot weird in this show. Like, they went to the university so that, you know, it was like a faculty dinner type thing. Mm-hmm. And she's always absent for this. And she finally showed up. And that's when we met the young hot thing.
Yes.
But basically, like, she she hears the fire alarm go off, and she's like, it's Villadel, she's here. He's like, you turn this into you again. I'm done with this. I'm
getting pissed off. That's right, yeah.
And Villanelle, like, walked. It was really creepy, but yeah. It was cinematography was phenomenal. She walked right up to her, dropped the lipstick in her purse, and walked away while Eve's just staring straight ahead. The lipstick was creepy.
It had a razor blade in it.
It had an X-Acto knife blade perfectly in it, yeah. And Sandra was just, like, putting it on her lips, and then suddenly, like, yeah.
Slices her lip open.
That's like something out of a horror movie.
But then she's okay with it.
She really was, because she's getting to be a psychopath.
Yeah, it was like when they had the guy show up to show, like, to talk about, I don't know, the PowerPoint thing. Mm-hmm. And there's an image of some person who's been horribly mutilated in it.
And everyone's like,
ugh. And Eve kind of leans into it. Mm-hmm. And
so the night before he's supposed to leave, he gets Indian food, and he shows that he's a great husband because she's like, you know, did you get double this? And he's like, of course, I'm not an asshole. I got exactly what you wanted.
Yep.
So they're eating the dinner, and everything's fine, and then suddenly there's a knock on the door. And she goes out, and there's this floral bouquet arranged in the word Eve. And this was what's weird, and I don't know if it's like we missed something because it was aired on the BBC, but basically, like, she looks at it, she looks around, she gets this wistful look in her eyes, and then she walks back inside, and she's like, she looks at her husband. She's like, you want to go upstairs? And he's like,
well, he's I just ate like 20
which was my first thought, too. You know, at this point in my life, I'm like, dude, he just ate all that Indian food. And he's like, I just ate all that. And I'm like, yes, thank you. That makes sense.
I just ate 20 kilograms. This thing.
Yeah.
Huh, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, because she's like, And then it immediately pants the next day. Like, I feel like what they wanted to show us was that she was humping his brains out in front of the window to, like, show off to Villanelle. Like, oh, you're watching me? How? Watch this. You know? That's what I got the impression
and
of.
And we don't see that in our Americanized version right. of the show. Maybe, yeah.
And maybe I'm way off. Maybe she was just, like, turned on by the fact that Villanelle's looking at her, and she's like, ooh, now I want to have sex. It could be.
Well, Villanelle shows up at the house.
In a very weird outfit.
Yeah.
And almost like she's going to a funeral.
Well, that's what she said. I'm in mourning.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird, but weird for them is normal.
Yeah, they have a weird exchange. And then she's like, well, I need your help for something. Well, first here, you need to take these pills because you have to die. So she takes the pills and then she's like, Eve, what did you do? Those are arsenic. And then laughs because she's like, I wouldn't have killed you that way.
Yeah,
that's not how I kill people.
And then hold a knife up to her.
Right. I would do this. And then cut to now they're walking through the woods to this trailer where they've brought the ghost.
Which, again, it felt like we missed something there. Like, they were both getting really close. I felt like they were about to either start making out or just throw each other down and just fuck their brains out. And then all of a sudden we just like, oh, it's the outside. The door opens. They walk out. And Villanelle goes, Eve, you left your door open. She goes, yeah.
And goes back and shuts it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they keep walking. Like, I feel like we missed something in there. Like, maybe there was some raucous girl-on-girl sex. Or maybe it was just weird, you know?
That's something to Google, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they get in the car that starts at Villanelle or whatever maybe had. Mm-hmm. They get out there, and this is funny because it cuts to they're walking through the woods to this trailer, and we know who's in the trailer.
It's not even a trailer. It's like a storage container.
It's a tractor trailer trailer.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, yeah. And you hear Eve say, is this even legal? No, Villanelle says, is this even legal?
Yeah.
And Eve goes, what's it matter? And she goes, I'm just looking out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't want Eve to go to the dark side.
Not to mention the fact that there are armed MI6 guards out here.
Yeah.
Eve is going out here with Villanelle,
yeah.
The one that they are all supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Let her in.
So Eve goes in to talk to Ghost, and Ghost won't say anything. And then during an earlier conversation, Eve brought up, you know, there's other people like that, you know, there's other, like, killers out there, other women like you who murder. And she's like, oh, I know there is. And then she's like, well, how many are? And she goes, it's like we're in a clubhouse or anything.
Right.
But she mentions someone who's the monster.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's a monster, you know. And then Villanelle goes in to talk to her, comes out, and gives Eve the information she wanted.
Which was very reminiscent of the Blacklist scene, you know.
Yes. And then Eve goes in to see what's going on.
Eve says, what did you do? And
yeah.
Villanelle says, exactly what you wanted me to do.
So Eve goes in to check on her, and the handcuffs are all off, and they're just laying on the floor. And the girl's sitting there with her eyes closed, and there's nothing visually wrong with her.
Nope.
And then she opens her eyes and looks at Eve, and she just goes, monster.
Yep.
Like, that's the monster I was talking about. Like, the ghost is that afraid of her.
Yeah.
And while Eve is in there, Villanelle just walks off.
Mm-hmm. which again was weird. Yep. Like, why didn't any MI6 agents want to stop her? Why did nobody detain this woman?
And if Villanelle's been trying to get to Eve for so long, why would she just leave her like
right.
that? Yeah.
This was so weird.
And then cut to Eve's husband. And he's walking along and he's watching his students. And then he stops next to this woman who's just standing there. And Villanelle just turns and says, I'm sorry I made all those complaints about you. Don't worry, I won't do it again.
I was just and trying just, to
yeah.
I was trying to drive a wedge between you and Eve, but she's not budging at all.
Yeah. And then she turns and looks at and then goes, isn't that weird? She just didn't seem to give a shit either about your job.
Yeah.
About you getting in trouble or anything like that. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he tells her, you know, when Eve stabbed me. Because oh, that was the thing, like he walks away and she's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm getting away from the children. So she follows him and then he thrusts her against the wall, you know, and then Villanelle tells him that Eve stabbed him and he's like, what? Oh, she didn't tell you, you know, like, but he's like, don't worry. She's basically like, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. Like she leaves him.
But we've got at least three more episodes left.
There are three more episodes.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, what the hell?
The next one is called, I Hope You Like Missionary.
Well, this one was called Smell You Later.
Yeah.
I mean, the hell.
Then Wide Awaking, You're Mine. Like, you are mine. So. The first episode was called, Do You Know How to Dispose of a Body?
It's such a great show.
It is a great
show. It's so yeah. weird and twisted. And like I said with the first season, they do a good job of portraying somebody as a psychopath. She's not necessarily like crazy kid or, you know, she acts childish sometimes. She's really good with accents. Like she's done American, she's done Scottish. She's the guy in the elevator. She had a great Scottish accent when she was talking up the guy in the elevator. And then he got on the elevator and she grabbed his tie and choked him to death while he was being dragged up the elevator. That was great. But she just, you know, it's psychopath, not necessarily that they want to kill everybody, but it's that they have absolutely no, they look at people as things. They are the only one yes. who is a person. They are the only one that matters. They will use you and then throw you down. Not because they hate you, but because they just don't need you anymore. They don't right. care. So stabbing you is, you know, if she was to stab you, it would be the equivalent of you throwing away that bottle of Coke. You're done with it. You throw right. it away. You know, yeah. with her, she'd be like, I'm done with him. That's I'm just going to throw him away.
People, yeah.
yeah. Like snapping that kid's neck. He said, I wish I was dead. She's like, okay, well, she also didn't need him telling anybody about her. So two birds, one stone.
So I did just Google the other edits made to the BBC America version of Killing Eve.
Yeah.
This is a BBC America exclusive show.
Oh.
So there's no, it can't even air in the BBC until after the final episode airs on BBC America.
Weird.
Because it is made for BBC America in conjunction with AMC Networks.
Hmm. But, I mean, look at, like, Doctor Who.
They very well could. Right. Well, no, but Doctor Who's made for the BBC, but airs on BBC
right,
America
right.
the same day. Like, Saturday at 9 o'clock or whatever it is mm-hmm. here, it always airs the same, or Sunday at 9 or whatever it is.
Right.
Hmm. Sunday at 8, I think. Yeah, Sunday at 8, which it's already aired in the BBC, in the UK by then. But anyway, so yeah, I True. Just... So maybe they have scenes that we put in for the BBC version.
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. You know, they renewed this show for season 3, 12 hours after the first episode aired for season 2.
Now that I've seen that episode, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Great show, right?
Great show.
Yeah.
Really
fun show. Fun show.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything else?
Not for shows. Didn't watch any movies. I've just got trailers and news.
All right. I did watch a couple movies. I watched a movie on Netflix called Thriller. It's fucking terrible. Don't watch it.
Okay.
And
so it had nothing to do with Michael Jackson?
Nope. And I watched Netflix original Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. That's the title of it.
That would be the Ted Bundy one that Jenna wanted you to watch.
Which I did.
I remember that story from earlier tonight.
This movie is excellent.
Really?
Yes. I was surprised just how good it was.
I'm surprised hearing you say that.
Zac Efron plays
yeah.
Ted Bundy.
He's a great guy.
And he is, I mean, he is really, really good at being Mr. Nice Guy, happy, smiley. You know, This movie is unlike any other Ted Bundy movie I've seen in respect that it is not the point of view of Ted Bundy or his victims or anything like that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you don't even see him commit crimes except for one near the end of the film. All you see, this is told from the point of view of his girlfriend,
okay,
Elizabeth Kendall. Now, okay, Here's what's interesting, which I had no idea about this, but Elizabeth Kendall was this girl that Bundy met. And maybe when they met, she was going to be one of his victims. But for whatever reason, he maybe fell for her. I don't know what it is. But he didn't. And they lived together for years in Seattle, like as boyfriend and girlfriend. And he helped even like raise her daughter. And all the time, he was going off killing people.
Mm. Okay.
And it was – so it was told from her point of view. And also from her point of view, we also see like him in jail, going to court, going to trial, you know, how these new investigators would show up and start these new charges, how he would just contest that he was innocent, that he was not, you know, he didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
On and on and on and on. It shows him, escaping from jail twice. I mean, it was really, really, really good.
Really?
Yes.
Really, really?
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know. It was just kind of amazing that it was just such a different point of view. Because normally when you do a Ted Bundy movie, you're going to glorify the murder. You're going to glorify the killings.
Right.
You're going to, they're going to show him like any other Ted Bundy movie I've seen. They show him murdering people and how violent and vicious he was. And
yeah.
The things he did to people. Well, it's
kind of what he's most known for. He wasn't known for his crocheting.
Well, like taking some sort of like bottle and shoving it so far up this woman that it ruptured her internal organs and, cutting off this one woman's head with a hacksaw, beating these other people in the face with an oak log and, raping and this and this. I mean, just all this horrible shit that he did. And they kind of, they talked about it, but you didn't see any of it.
True.
And it's got a great cast. I mean, let's see if they list the cast here. Zac Efron is Ted Bundy. Lily Collins is Elizabeth Crandall. John Malkovich is the judge. Jeffrey Donovan plays his lawyer, but I didn't recognize him right at first because of his beard and mustache. Jim Parsons is an attorney, a prosecuting attorney in Florida in this. I mean, this Haley Joel Osment is in it. Like, again, it was another one. I think that's Haley Joel. I don't even talk. James Hetfield, the lead singer of Metallica, plays this officer, Bob Hayward, that you see quite a bit in this.
Mm-hmm.
I did not recognize him. When the credits went at the end, I saw James Hetfield was in this. I had to go back and look. And I'm like, no, that's not him. Like, great makeup or whatever it was. But mm-hmm. He was really good. And I just didn't look like him. Not even fucking close. But anyhow, it's a really good movie. I would give this a hard sell to watch. It's a pretty cool little psychological thriller, and you see just kind of how messed up this guy was and the people around him. And
that's what people often forget. I was actually talking to a friend of mine recently. When you see cult leaders and you see people who are famous, serial killers and stuff like that, you automatically assume that they're just like running around and killing people. Or, it's a cult leader. He must be somebody who, drugs people and he takes them by force. Most of these people are very complex, very intelligent, very charismatic. There's a lot more to them than just straight up, I murder people.
Yeah. No, and there's definitely a lot more to Ted Bundy in this. It was excellent. Again, hard sell.
Awesome.
So I just watched the Watchmen trailer, and I don't really know what to make of it.
I was hoping you were going to hit record before we actually started talking. What?
Our little voice thing's not going up.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
We'll see. So.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
It's bizarre to say the least. I watched it this afternoon, and then I looked at a couple of the write-ups that people had. Yeah. Nobody quite understands what's going on.
Okay.
Which is fine. The best I can figure, and I'm just one person, the end of Watchmen, whether it's the book or the movie, you had the face-off. Basically, Ozymandias talked about his plan that he wanted to right the world. Yeah. You know, he wanted to give them all a common enemy to fight, either Dr. Manhattan or the alien, depending on which way you look at it. And Rorschach and Night Owl there were fighting him on it. Rorschach got blown up. So because basically Manhattan was like, you know, we've got to go through with this. We got to do it, blah, blah, blah. And Rorschach's like, fuck you. And Manhattan poofed him out of existence. But the final scene is always on that package that he had dropped in the mail, which was his manifesto talking about everything that he had dug up, everything that he knew about the killing of the comedian, what was going on with Dr. Manhattan, Ozymandias, blah, blah, blah. And it ended up in a newsroom. That's the final scene of the book.
So maybe this is a continuation of that.
I'm thinking, because you look at all these people who basically have Rorschach masks on, and they seem to be, I don't want to say a cult of Rorschach, but kind of we're going to continue his work type of thing. We saw no hint whatsoever of Dr. Manhattan.
Nope.
Any of the heroes except for we got to see Jeremy Irons' old Ozymandias.
Yes.
Which was cool, but it was a blink and you miss it kind of thing. It almost looks like it's police versus heroes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it all takes place down in Texas with Don Johnson there. It's weird. But I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
It's HBO. It's this fall. Yeah. We never finished talking about the Far From Home trailer. We kind of
got derailed. We did get derailed big time. Good call. So in the Far From Home trailer, we see that Mr. Mysterio.
Mysterio is there.
He's a good guy. Well, he's working with Nick Fury.
That's the interesting thing is that you have to remember the source material. Mysterio is a master of mystery and illusion and misconception and diversion. This could all be smoke and mirrors, quite literally.
Yeah.
He basically has convinced Nick Fury that he is from an alternate Earth.
An alternate universe.
Because as Nick Fury says, the snap ripped a hole in our dimension.
Yeah.
And Peter says, there's a multiverse? And then it cuts right away.
Yeah. People went, whoa!
Yeah. Yeah, everyone. Well, at first, everyone was like, yeah, multiverse. This is where the X-Men are coming in. And then we all went, wait a minute. It's Mysterio.
Yeah.
This could be complete bullshit because he may just want to mess with people.
Someone else said, a kid I work with made mention of, like, so if they're going to introduce the multiverse in Spider-Man, does that mean that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is now part of canon?
Yes. I think it should be. I think it absolutely should be. I did read an interesting theory, though, online that said that this would be a perfect way. Well, it takes a lot of twisting, but it would be a perfect way to introduce Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Because if you remember with Spider-Man Homecoming, we got introduced to his uncle, who was played by Donald Glover.
Yep.
And down on his luck, bum kind of guy. Not the Prowler yet, but, you know, seems to be the criminal type. He was looking for weapons.
Yeah.
The theory said, what about this? So the snap happens. Most of the world disappears. Miles' parents disappear. Miles now has to be raised by Uncle Aaron. 5 years. These two bond. They feel good. They're making their way the best that they can in the world. Then all of a sudden, the snap is undone. The parents come back. The parents want Miles back. Miles wants to go with them, blah, blah, blah. Uncle Aaron's like, well, what do I do now? You know, what's my life now? So he ends up going back to his old ways of crime. And we still have a younger kid who is going to be Miles as Peter ages up appropriately.
Yeah.
Could be an interesting way to do
that. That would work.
Yeah. Because he'd still be young, but he would have aged at least 5 years. You know, we don't know how old he was in Homecoming because he said, you know, I got a nephew who lives in this area.
Yeah.
But he could have been 5 years old. He could have been 13 for all we know. It could be interesting for them to twist that in there. You know what else could be interesting?
What?
Now that we've got Professor Hulk, we could find a way to twist in a She-Hulk.
Ooh.
Because remember, the original story was she was his cousin. He gave her a blood transfusion. She learned to control the powers and became She-Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, now that we've got Professor Hulk, it opens more of a door there, because if we just had straight up Bruce Banner, he'd be like, no, nobody can have this monster inside me. But
now that he knows he can control it, he'd be less likely to.
He might say, we need to help her out. This could be a Hulk movie. We could get Red Hulk and She-Hulk in the same movie.
I would be fine with that.
I would be more than fine with that. Thunderbolt Ross wants to do some experiments. He kidnaps Banner's cousin.
Yep.
Let's recreate this. Yeah. Oh, I could see this happening. There's so many things that are open, because they still, like, we know that there's going to be another Guardians, because they're already working on it. We know there's another Black Panther. Yes. We know there's another Doctor Strange. But they haven't named any of the movies yet,
right,
that are coming out. They just said Untitled Marvel Project, Untitled Marvel Project.
I wonder if they'll, and they did state they were going to name them after Spider-Man, didn't they?
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be fucking weird if the next two movies are X-Men and Fantastic Four?
It would be impossible, I think. Because they're already going to be doing Dark Phoenix this year. They're going to want to get some distance between them.
That's true.
But I'm thinking, you know, they all have these phases that kind of cap off with an Avengers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see an Avengers versus X-Men?
Yeah.
I think that would be phenomenal. They could introduce the X-Men as either from a different dimension or, you know, the snap brought mutants into the world, because we don't know what else Tony did.
I really want to know what they're going to do with, like, the cat. Like, they're going to recast the whole Avengers, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Avengers has always been a rotating team.
I mean, sorry, X-Men, all of X-Men.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's too bad.
Well, it's what they got to do, you know?
I liked James McAvoy as Professor X.
I did, too.
I love Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
Yes, absolutely. 100% agree.
Well, Fox did a lot of things wrong.
Yep.
With the Fantastic Four.
Oh, my God.
But I actually don't mind what they've done over the years with X-Men.
I don't either.
You know,
Days of Future Past is still one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
Oh.
But the way they did the original X-Men, and then they did the new Days of Future Past, and then they combined the two of those together, you know. And
then even Deadpool references it.
Yes, and they bridge the gap.
We're taking you to see the professor. McAvoy or Stewart, I can't keep these timelines straight. And don't forget, Disney has said that they're keeping Deadpool the way that he is.
Yes.
Staying R-rated.
Yes.
And staying Ryan Reynolds. But now he's going to have a giant budget. Think about that, dude.
Oh.
Literally.
Oh, real quick, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you said Ryan Reynolds, made me think of this. Addison really wants to go see Detective Pikachu. I have no interest at all.
Why are you pointing at me and smiling?
Because you want to go see it.
I am going to go see
it. I'll buy your ticket if you take my daughter with you.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
What?
I'm taking somebody else's kid to go see Detective Pikachu?
Who cares? She calls you Uncle John and runs up and hugs you when she sees you. It's not
weird. She doesn't run up and hug me anymore.
She doesn't?
No.
No. But still.
We keep our distance from each other.
That's fine.
She's getting to be that age. What is she, 10?
Yes.
Wow. I got it on the first try.
She'll be 10 Monday.
Woo!
She'll be 10 on Monday. We're watching an Avengers Endgame today at the theater, and it's the big battle's about to start. And she's like, Daddy, I can't watch this. It's too scary. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to see the Avengers get killed. And I just go, it'll be fine. Just watch it. It'll be fine. So.
We got derailed there for a second. Deadpool.
Deadpool's going to be kept the same.
Dude, I was thinking about this today. And as much as I love it, that Marvel has all of its properties back for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, Sony's still kicking around with some of that bullshit, like Morbius and Venom. But Star Wars, Avatar, Terminator, X-Men, Marvel, these are all things that are owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen the picture of Mickey with the Infinity Gauntlet? And it's like Star Wars, yes. Avatar.
Yeah, yeah. Disney owns the world.
They really do. I wish I could go back and talk to my younger self and be like, dude, House of Mouse. Buy some stock in them as soon as you can, because it's only going to get better. I mean, it's insane to think that they own all of these properties.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to be long before they go to Sony and say, look, you guys do a great job with video games, and that's it.
Yeah.
Your computer line went bust. Your phones went bust. Everything went bust. Sell us Spider-Man. We'll give you some money to go play with your video games, because Sony's dominating the game market. Like, the PlayStation 4 has outsold the Xbox hand over fist. They are dominating. They're not even going to E3 this year because they're like, we don't need to. Disney's going to make him an offer. They're going to buy the Spider-Man rights. I can almost guarantee.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they're already
working. They've got all the money in the world.
So, actually, one of the quiet ends of that whole Disney-Fox merger deal that happened was that Disney, because they own ESPN and all those networks, they had to sell off the Fox Sports regional networks that they got in the business in the that they end up picking up in the merger. That was the last hangup.
Yeah,
and they made a deal with Sinclair Broadcasting. So,
which who cares? I mean, sports fans probably care.
Right. Well, actually, what's kind of unique about that is like Channel 13 Sinclair.
Yeah.
And now with all these regional sports, I could see them adding, like, right now we have 13.1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I could see them adding, like, a 13.4 now for the Fox Sport New England being there, which would be nice for me.
Would it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would that give you?
Regional wrestling.
I should have thought of that. Like it literally should have been the first thing that I thought
like
of.
Like, right now, Ring of Honor's on Sinclair, but that would be some regional New England wrestling that's on the Fox channel there. So
okay.
Anyhow, you got any other trailers you want to talk about?
Yeah, there was one that I sent you. It's a little indie thing coming out called Rim of the World.
I watched it. I just can't remember it now, but I remember watching
it. It's the kids go to like a summer camp kind of thing.
Yes.
And then aliens start attacking.
Yes.
And there's martial law. And
the redhead kid that's like the star of the movie, he is like the star kid on Kids Are All Right.
Oh, really?
He's one that was making the stick puppets and getting glue all over everything.
Okay. The non-masturbating masturbator.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that looks great.
It does look
great. That looks fun.
I'm excited about that.
That looks fun, yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I got no trailers. I got a few other pieces of news. What about you?
Well, I did, while we were talking earlier, I did watch the Batwoman teaser with the sound off.
Fair enough.
And well, there's nothing to be said. It's literally just like her on a rooftop with the cape billowing in the wind.
Told
you. And you see like her. They make it a point to show her ass, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then you see the bat symbol, but it's got her logo on it, and then it just shows her, and then it just shows the Batwoman logo and says coming soon.
That's it.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's what I figured it was. You know, some fan made thing.
No, it's not. It's in the CW put it out.
Okay.
It's a CW trailer.
Still sounds fan-made.
No, it's a CW teaser. So. What else you got for... Oh, I got one bit of news.
What you got?
Slasher. Mm-hmm. Season 3, coming to Netflix May 29th.
Oh, nice.
And, oh, shit. I knew what it was about. Keep going.
I can't remember. You're the one that's talking.
No, I know, but I closed out my window that had the thing in it.
Why would you do that? God.
I'm an idiot.
What is wrong with you?
I'm an idiot.
Your cat seems to like her little footstool.
Well, yeah, because she's trying to get... She is very lonely right now. And she's feeling very, very... Yeah.
Mama and the kid are gone.
Exactly. Okay, so it's called... Season 3 is called Solstice. It's going to be 8-episode, third season. Centers around a killer disguised as a druid hunting down the witnesses who do nothing while a young man was killed in front of their apartment complex.
Okay. Yeah.
I've actually enjoyed all three seasons of it, the first two seasons of this so far.
Okay.
Oh, Black Mirror. Still coming out sometime this year. They haven't had a definitive date.
Still no official date, sometime.
Initially, they had said the end of last year, and then they switched that. We're just going to release Bandersnatch, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that took so much focus of them doing with the choose-your-own-adventure aspect of it that it kind of neglected the rest of the series, and now that just keeps kind of, yeah.
Gotcha.
What else you got?
Did you see Bruce Campbell's strange tweet?
No.
I've got it brought up here. This is what he tweeted out.
Oh, I bet you it's a video game, though.
It could be a video game. It could be a comic book.
Oh, maybe it's a comic. No, because they're doing an Army of Darkness comic book right now.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a animated, cel-shaded, bloody-looking Ash's face, and it just says September. Dot, dot, dot. People asked him because Mortal Kombat 11 recently came out.
Oh.
They were like, are you going to be in Mortal Kombat 11? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It could be that video game that he hinted at a while back.
Maybe.
John Oliver was friggin' hilarious the other night.
Yeah.
He's on HBO. Right. And he was talking briefly about Game of Thrones and how it's only got 4 episodes left. And he just ended. He goes, What did he say? This network is so fucked. It was perfect the way that he said it with his British accent. Basically saying that when Game of Thrones is gone, who fucking cares about HBO? And HBO does have some good stuff like Westworld and Ballers.
I watched the first episode of True Detective season 3. I watched the first half. Then yeah. I put something else on.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically HBO is going to have Westworld, which most people didn't like last season. And they're going to have Watchmen, which we don't even know what it's going to be about.
Well, hopefully this Chernobyl is going to be excellent.
It's a mini series. It's not even a full series.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. Elizabeth Banks is coming back to host the game show.
Yeah.
She's doing a reboot of Press Your Luck.
Yes.
I read that and I went, I don't care who's fucking hosting it. It's Press Your Luck. Yeah. We're going to get whammies.
I want whammies.
We're getting whammies back.
Stop at a whammy. I want cheesy animation.
Yes. Ugh. I want the little, you know, cheesy animation yeah. coming across the screen. Then the little whammy thing comes up and, you know, they've got to sit there with their shame.
Yep.
big money, no whammies, no whammies. Stop.
Stop at a whammy.
Remember? That was one of the first controversies that I remember as a kid. And you had to read about it in like TV Guide or the newspaper. Yeah. But somebody had recorded multiple episodes of the show and watched it over and over again. And
they figured out the pattern.
They figured out the pattern so that he just kept winning everything. He won the island giveaway. He won the money. I watched the
documentary on it. It was crazy.
Yeah. That was back before they realized that people could do stuff yep. like that. Like, he was one of the first hackers in that respect.
Because he kept getting like $1,000 in a spin or $500 mm-hmm. in a spin.
I mean, kudos to him.
Oh, yeah.
And then the only other news that I have is really weird news.
Okay.
Take this with a grain of salt. But this is one of these conspiracy theory type things that actually has weight behind it.
Okay.
Somebody looked at all the Marvel movies to date and yeah. looked at their run times.
Oh, I heard this
one. Put them into minutes.
Yeah.
And they've determined that if Spider-Man Far From Home, which is closing out phase 4 of the Marvel movies.
Phase 3.
No, phase 4.
We're in phase 3.
Okay, anyway. So if it closes out phase 3.
Yeah.
And it comes in at a runtime of 2 hours and 9 minutes, which is absolutely believable.
Yeah.
Then all of the movies to this point, their runtimes will add up to 3,000 minutes.
I thought they'd already counted up to the end of Endgame was 3,000 minutes.
Nope. They've said that Spider-Man would have to be 2 hours and 9 minutes to make it 3,000 minutes, which would make I Love You 3,000 that much more epic.
Yep. I had heard that one, yeah.
And if the people who do Spider-Man are not editing it right now to get it into 2 hours and 9 minutes, I will be shocked. Because that seems like just the type of thing that if they didn't plan it at this point, that somebody's got to be looking at it going, yeah, we definitely.
I wonder if they, I mean, Regal, I got a thing the other day that they.
That you can buy tickets?
Yeah. So I wonder if they have.
You could probably look it up on IMDb.
Well, I looked somewhere else and they didn't have it. Let's see here. Oh, nice. All right, here we go. Spider-Man Far From Home. Runtime says 130 minutes, which is basically 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, so if they cut a minute off somewhere.
So the runtimes are going to be 3,000. That's fucking crazy.
You know, I know we've talked about this. You know that
Jesus Christ.
Captain Marvel's scenes in Endgame were filmed before the movie yeah. Captain Marvel. Like, all of her scenes were filmed.
Yep.
And absolutely, James Gunn directed the little scene when Thor got on the Guardians. You know, he had to have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know he's listed as an executive producer, yeah. but they were like, get in the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have one more news thing.
Okay.
New Mutants got pushed back.
Yeah.
Till April 2020.
Yeah. That's if it even comes out.
Dude, the movie was filmed in 2017.
I remember.
You know, it was supposed to come out in April of 2018. Then it got pushed back. Then it got pushed to 2019. Then it got pushed again, and now it's been pushed again. Just release the movie or don't.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
At this point, you're just cock-teasing us.
Yeah.
Is basically what it comes down to.
And I did watch another movie, but I forgot about it.
What?
I watched The Darkest Minds.
Okay.
Remember that? What that's about?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
No, I don't believe that I did.
It sucked. It wasn't good at all. Aww. The storyline was cool.
Yeah.
You know, all the kids in the world die except ones that now have mutant powers.
Superpowers, yeah.
And the
but they're like afraid of them. They're based on colors, right?
Well, they color coordinate them based on what their power is, yes. And oranges and reds are the worst, blah, blah. It wasn't very good at all. It was really... I know it's based on a young adult novel, but it was really like...
Young adultish.
Yeah. It wasn't. It just wasn't good.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got.
That's all I've got.
That's all I've got. The laptop is closed.
That's all I've got.
All my notes are now hidden away.
Update available. Restart to update.
I ignore those.
Why?
I'll decide when to update my shit.
Anyhow, that's it. I will. We'll talk to you guys next week about more shows and stuff.
Hopefully, Twitter. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, probably Chernobyl. On the maybe not Chernobyl, but definitely Game of Thrones. On the Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K,
and that's the show.